Charlie and a few of their friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Hello. Oh, I'm so sweaty. I rode my bike here.
It's hot out. Summer came back for a few days.
It's real hot. My name is Cody, by the way. I just introduced myself to this audience by talking about how sweaty I am.
My name is Charlie.
We are a married couple.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very much.
Oh, 8 years in October.
And we're your hosts tonight. We love politics. We love beer. We've got some great panelists tonight, and we're going to have a tipsy political roundtable. We've been drinking beer in the attached bar here at the UCB Theater.
Yeah, a lot's been happening this week. We're really excited to talk about it. The failing of our democracy continues to crumble.
Continues. Yeah. We do the show every month here at UCB Theater East, so come back and see us another time. We also podcast the show, so check us out on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts.
We also have a merch store. This is a newish thing. Charlie, do you want to show some of our merch?
Yes, we have a new t-shirt that I've worn a couple times and gotten a lot of compliments on.
A lot of compliments.
It says, vote. And I vote in midterm elections.
Yeah, and you can find those on TeePublic. We have our own shop on TeePublic. It's really exciting. They have baby onesies that our three-month-old is currently wearing today.
Right.
I know, guys. He can't vote, though. Although, maybe we should sign him up. It's part of
Well, George Soros will pay you to sign your baby up to vote.
Exactly, yeah.
You get $50 an election cycle from George Soros. Mm-hmm.
And we're proof of that, yeah.
Hey, let's bring our panel out and start the show. What do you think, Cody?
That sounds great. Is our panel ready? I feel like I don't know if they're back there.
I bet if we play music
panel!
And say their names loudly, they'll come out. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our first panelist from the very popular podcast Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers! We got a microphone down.
Party foul already.
Two beers in!
She is the co-host of the Sirius satellite radio show Signal Boost, Jess McIntosh!
Welcome. Woo!
And you know him from Orange is the New Black, and he's also the host of the True TV game show about student loan debt, Michael Torpy! Paid Off's the name of that show. I didn't say the name of the show. Paid Off. Welcome, Michael. Welcome,
I say
panel.
Every month, we really should do the introductions before we've chugged the beer.
Before we've 1.5 beers in.
I should win an Emmy for remembering people's names and where they work.
Yeah, in the category of drunk hosting, you should
drunk
be
drunk hosting on a live stage show. Hey, you know what? The fucking Oscars are adding some bullshit categories. The Emmys can add some bullshit categories,
too. Yeah, they
too.
Can add live podcasts, right? Live podcasts can get an Emmy, sure.
Are you into the category they added, or you hate it?
Here's the thing.
The category, for those who don't know, is popular movies.
Best popular film.
Best we would like to give Black Panther something.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much exactly why they made it, because they're like, we're going to seem so racist when we don't give Black Panther an award this year. I don't really care about it that much. I don't really get to watch a ton of movies anymore.
Yeah.
Although no, it should be Love, Simon. Love, Simon should win.
Oh, I watched that on a plane. It was really cute.
Yeah, it was cute.
Natasha Rothwell, friend of the show, is wonderful in that movie.
She's very good.
Want to give a quick shout out to Bronx Brewery providing the beers that are under our chairs. If panelists want
so
additional
beers
after their first two beers, there are two more under your chairs. Ladies and gentlemen, John McCain passed away this weekend.
Great segue.
Emmy Awards.
Good to Bronx Brewery. He'd be happy sponsoring this podcast. By the way, John McCain is dead.
The good people at Bronx Brewery want to talk about dead senators tonight. So John McCain passed away this weekend, and yeah, we want to talk about it. I guess I want to talk about sort of John McCain's mixed legacy, and you know, he's. I don't want to talk too poorly about the dead, I guess, but you know,
I guess.
Way to come out of the gate, Charlie.
He served in Vietnam, and we thank him for his service. But he made a lot of terrible decisions as a politician. I've been fascinated with the obituaries and the way he's remembered and how he kind of gets to have it both ways. Today he released like his final statement, which threw a lot of shade at Donald J. Trump, including Yeah, let's give it up. That's good that he's throwing shade. It was a nice statement. But one thing, I think it's like the final example of McCain getting too much credit, though, is what I want to say about it. Because I've seen so much coverage of it today, like, oh, McCain gets in one last thing on Trump. He gets the last laugh on Trump. But the thing that people are citing as the last laugh is he says, like, you know, America... basically, America is better than walls, or, you know, we don't need to build walls.
And I'm old enough to remember the campaign ad where he says, build the dang fence.
Build the dang fence.
Rest in peace.
Now, granted, a fence, I guess, is a little bit more of a liberal option than a wall.
You
know? But, yeah, I mean, I just... God bless him for giving a thumbs down to repealing Obamacare, even though he kind of voted for appealing the individual mandate during the tax bill.
He confirmed DeVos. I just want to say he voted yes on DeVos. And I remember tweeting, like, this should be his legacy. Like, to me, that's such a yes or no, like, obvious no, that, like, for it, everything else you can throw out. McCain voting yes on Betsy DeVos. Anyone voting yes on Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, but she's turned a corner. She wants to pay to have guns in schools with
we'll
federal funds.
Absolutely. Oh, I forgot.
Charlie, look at your questions. We'll get to that later.
Oh, we're going to get to it.
We're just so grateful,
does anybody
right?
want to say anything good about a dead person? Come on, guys.
He really showed how low the bar has fallen with the things that we are really excited about lionizing him for. The idea that he stood up in that rally, his, like, no, ma'am, he's a family man, he's a citizen. Like, that was a great, wonderful moment where he shut down this woman who was trying to say that Obama was
an error. But it wasn't. It was a decent moment.
No,
it was like,
which is what I'm saying.
It was also a bare minimum moment.
About how far,
I guess, but I do want to say
the bar has fallen.
That a lot of people are sort of saying that she said he's an Arab, and he said, no, he's a decent person, a citizen, or whatever. And a lot of liberals, like, get mad at him because they say, well, even if he wasn't an Arab, whatever, it's fine, you know? But I do think that, like, what he meant was he understood what she was saying when she said
that. I totally agree. That's what he meant. Yes. First of all, I'm one of those liberals who was that moment. I was like, why did we give him credit for it the next day? Why are we still talking about it now? The woman said he's an Arab, and he said, no, he's a good person, right?
Right. You should have said, well, he's not an Arab, but even if he were, that's fine.
Right, because if he had said he's a Jew, and he said, no, he's not a Jew, he's a family man, like, that would not have been okay, right?
Sure.
But...
fine. But we all got what she meant when she said
it. I totally can understand.
She just meant terrorist for Arab.
Yeah. I know what she meant. She's a crazy person. And I know what he was trying to do. So I don't necessarily criticize him. I don't think he was trying to say all Arabs are not family men or good people. But what he did was a mistake, right? It's being held up through the last 8 years, and especially this weekend, it's being held up as, like, the pinnacle of this amazing thing he did. It's like, no, he misspoke. In that moment, he misspoke. It didn't handle it as well as he could have. He could have handled it much worse by saying, like, yeah, you're right, he's a dirty Arab, vote for me. Yeah, he didn't do that.
Well,
yeah.
But
he just did the bare
is.
Minimum thing, and he tripped over his words, and that should not be, like,
his
obituary.
But we talk about nuance, right? Like, we got the nuance. We understood what he meant when he said that,
right.
And we praise that as a moment to hold up, right? But we forget about nuance in every other instance in our politics now, right? So anyway, I think John McCain was a decent person. He seemed like he was a really good family man. I feel bad for his family. I really do.
Here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. And I was saying that the biggest tragedy of this last 2 weeks is the fact that The View was on a break. because
oh, no.
Omarosa happened. Omarosa storm. Hurricane Omarosa happened. And
if you don't listen to Las Culturistas,
girl.
Matt's podcast, you have to. They had the whole episode about Omarosa.
We
recently.
Did a whole ep. Okay, so Omarosa happened, and The View was on a break, and I was so upset. And then all this shit has happened in the last 2 weeks, and The View hasn't been there. Flashback to 2008. I'm a freshman in college. I got all my news from The View. Okay? I'm not kidding. These were the Hasselbeck days, bitch. I was there. So I'm there, like, getting, receiving. So I've stayed with these ladies through many lineups and even through Meghan McCain. And
she's not still on the show.
I tweeted at Meghan McCain, so sorry for your loss.
Oh, you did? Did she respond?
She'll never see it. But, like,
that was a sincere tweet. You like Meghan McCain.
Well, I genuinely do feel bad.
I feel bad.
Did you see the clip of Joe Biden on the show and he sat next to her? I'm sorry, but, like,
yeah.
I have my problems with Joe Biden.
Right. Ugh. But anyway, like, what I'm saying is, it's like
The Views on a break, and I was so mad, but now I feel kind of like, oh, thank God they're on a break, because you know, that would have been
Listen,
terrible.
I talked tons of shit about John McCain when he was alive, but now I'm like, you know what? Rest in peace.
No, he's not going to be replaced by somebody better.
Exactly.
There is no chance that we are better off because he's gone and someone else will be there. And that is
definitely
but
we're not getting a reliable swing vote. We are not getting a swing vote.
I don't know.
Arizona.
I think Joe Arpaio has
some good
ideas. It's
going to be Joe Arpaio, yes!
I will say one nice thing.
It's Arizona. It could be.
One nice thing about McCain is I think it is pretty cool that he asked George Bush and Barack Obama
to give
a eulogy and that he didn't invite Trump. And I want to say one other thing about Trump not being invited. This is like now the second or third funeral that Trump has not been invited
You're
to.
You're not invited.
And it's like a normal thing to like not get invited to somebody's wedding.
Okay, guys.
But it's not standard to like not receive an invite to a funeral.
No, like everyone can go to funerals. That's like one of those things.
Pretty open door.
we have elected somebody who's getting banned from funerals. That is fucked up.
Well, we didn't really. It was Russia.
This is so petty, too, because then, like, he's like, didn't get invited to his funeral. And he's like, well, fuck you. I'm taking the flag all the way up that flagpole.
Yeah. He put that flag all the way
so
up.
So petty to just be like, they're dead. Whatever. I'm going to. He's like, nope. Fuck you. No, he's not even saying fuck you because he's dead. He's saying fuck your family.
Yeah.
That is what he's saying.
But only until 4:30 p.m. today. And then he put it back down because he has no backbone.
Oh.
He put it back down and released a statement. Yes.
What was
the statement? He can't stick to anything. He can't fire anybody. It was like a.
Oops.
We've had differences in politics and personality, but I respect his service to the country, something about his family. It was basically the thing that he vetoed over the weekend, I think, was what they were finally like.
Because everybody all day was like, what?
Even Fox News is mad about you.
Oh.
American Legion? Yeah. Yeah.
The American Legion steps up. You gotta listen to them, man.
Guys, that VFW.
They know the right way to fold the flag.
Yes.
And then that's it.
But Trump, just last week, there was like a bill. I think it was like a military spending bill. There's some bill. It was a military spending bill that had John McCain's name on it. And Trump like gave a like 20-minute talk about the bill and never once said the name of the bill. I mean, what a shithead.
The guy for years. Wait, this. And you know what's fucked up about the whole thing is that his legacy is being kind of represented by this clip with the Arab thing.
Right.
The guy for years was tortured every day. You know what I mean? Honestly, give it a break. Just give it 24 hours before you make your like pithy little tweet about it. The guy was tortured every single day for years.
Like, that's what I mean. That's why I'm not too.
You know what I mean?
And refused getting released early because he wanted to go out in the order that they came in. Like he did some pretty freaking heroic shit.
I will say I follow. There's one. I say friends very loosely in quotes, which you can't see on a podcast. Friends, but I follow this. Hate follow this guy that I went to high school with on Twitter, because I just like need to know what the counterculture is saying.
Yeah,
and
are conservatives counterculture now?
I mean, this guy's not a conservative. This guy is a conspiracy theorist troll.
Got it. Okay.
He is literally a troll that has like grown wings.
I love that.
He's a monster. Charlie,
beautiful.
I've sent you his stuff
before. You do not
have
to follow me. It's like...
It's Michael Torpy, everyone.
You can't see his wings.
So rude.
They're small.
But, what was interesting was like as soon as McCain died that Friday night, like I went to his Twitter and it was like... you guys think he's an American hero, but, and it was like all this like bullshit they say to try to get people to hate McCain. It was like McCain like cheated on his wife. The reason he like was in prison was because, or like, you know, he's at the Hanoi Hilton was because he blew up he had a hot temper and got mad. It was just like all these terrible things. I was like, damn, the trolls are out already in this man. Anyway.
Trolls gonna troll.
It's really sad.
So, Michael, we have you on the show. We want to talk about student loan debt because student loan debt is in the news today.
Again, another entry in the Emmy for Segway.
Yes.
This is like back to back. These are killer.
And the Emmy goes to...
for changing the subject during a pause in the conversation, Charlie Todd. So... Michael, you can explain exactly what happened today, but it was somebody within the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau who was sort of in charge of policing the student loan industry. Mm-hmm. He resigned today basically saying that the whole agency under, is it Mick Mulvaney, is basically screwing over the students. And I saw that the combined student loan debt is like $1.5
trillion. $1.5
trillion. Amazing like that. So you started, so if, in case people don't know, Paid Off is a game show that's on True TV where people
Correct.
Are competing to pay off their student loans. But what's great about the show
the
is, first of all,
that's
a very clever premise that we're all like, oh, that's interesting. I want to see that. But what's great about the show is you sort of consistently nail home the fact of that the show shouldn't exist.
Correct. I mean, the show is the goal of the show is to raise awareness about the fact that there are 45 million Americans right now shouldered with $1.5 trillion of student debt, and that's an insane burden to put on people who had the gall to want to educate themselves, and that I think we need to look at our country and say, is this how we want education to be structured? Is this what we want to be putting on people who are trying to, at the same time, have families, buy homes, contribute to our economy? Do we want them held back by an insane amount of debt? And while at the same time have examples around the world of countries that are not doing that to their citizens. So we do. We hammer that home while also trying to help out some people one by one. But
that has to be insane prize money, though. Are you giving away like $80,000 a pop on your show? Well,
in the first season, we gave away almost $500,000.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
it was killer.
Yeah, for sure.
It was killer.
I like almost started crying watching the first episode because I just thought, you know, it's just so great to have a TV show and have something fun. The show is really fun. It's a game show. It's super funny. But also to have that activism aspect of it is really great. Should we all go around and say how much we owe or owed in our student loan debt?
Sure.
Wow.
I owed $45,000, and I have paid off every penny.
Well done. Congratulations.
Pat, theater degree paid off.
Nailed
yes.
it.
That's a really big deal, because I didn't pay off, like, a real degree. I paid off a fucking theater degree, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kraft Macaroni and Cheese.
She went to George Washington University, the most expensive school in the country.
GWU.
That's a beautiful song that you can sing.
It was the most expensive school the year that I went. Yeah.
Wow.
It fluctuated. You went to NYU, right, Matt?
I'm going to give you some competition.
Are you NYU?
I'm NYU. Are you really?
Yep.
Yeah, I went to
NYU.
And
it was back and forth between NYU and GW when I was there. Yeah. It was, yeah.
I got lucky. NYU decided the year that I went that they didn't have enough actual city kids. So they like dropped tuition massively, and I wound up going for like $10,000.
No. Wow.
Which means 4 years? That I am going to pay it off in time for my 37th birthday, wow. which is in 2 weeks.
You go.
Hey.
You go.
Hell yeah, celebrate.
You yes. go.
Well done. Well done. I was incredibly fortunate. I came from a place of privilege. My parents said, get into the best school you can get into. We'll figure out how to pay for it. They took out a second line of equity on their home, and they paid for my education. And that's how
wow.
I became a theater major. Because
like,
in all honesty, if I knew I was going to have all that debt, I wouldn't have had the
Where'd
stones.
You go?
Colgate.
Oh, when did they tell you to like maybe minor in accounting or something?
They
like,
didn't fucking care. They were fine. I paid the bill. Like they didn't voice any opinions in terms of the major as long as those checks cleared.
Yes, and you and I are the two rare people that are working. Oh, actually, Matt, you have a theater degree, I assume?
Well, I actually...
Maybe?
I went to Tisch at NYU, but I was a television writing major, so it's actually worse.
I think that's better. I think there's more money in writing than acting.
But literally,
more jobs.
I know people, and I'm not kidding, I know people who have $210,000
yeah.
in debt who literally rolled on the ground for their major. That went
Yes, be the color yellow.
I spent freshman year in
color
yellow. I couldn't be a tree at that hour of the day most days.
But truly, the experimental theater wing, I mean, they didn't prepare you for a career on camera, and you're not going to make money like that in the theater. You never will. And that's what's so kind of sick about the whole thing. I'm the same as Michael. My parents refinanced their house. I mean, I actually also was an RA, and so for a year and a half, and then I got fired, baby.
No! I want to hear that story so
bad.
Got fired.
Smoked weed with my best friend, Sudie Green, friend of the show.
Love Sudie Green. She's
been on
before.
They found out she was technically my resident. Got fired. Well, was put on probation for that, and then I forgot to pick up the duty phone one day. And it was like 3 hours later when I should. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to get the duty phone. I'm on duty tonight. I went down there, and my, like, resident advisor, the person that was in charge, was waiting for me.
What a fucking
She stayed
bitch.
3 hours after her job was over to get me.
Yes. Yes.
NYU I don't have that kind dark. Of commitment
goes
for
to
anything.
Show why you should not sign on the dotted line when you're 18
right.
to sign your life away.
But I'm telling you, the amount of money, and it's
so bad now. I
it's
mean,
so
they,
bad.
They pay, I'm telling you, it's. I'm not kidding. It's $73,000, $74,000
yes.
a year.
It's not that good of an education.
It was
no,
just
horrible.
Not.
So my situation has its ups and downs. One, I went to a public school, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I also came from a place of privilege. It was a pretty cheap public school education, but my parents did pay for it. But then I married someone with student debt. I married someone with $45,000 in student debt.
Now, I want to say, guys, this is a thing you should know about us. As a wedding present, I paid off my student loan debt before I married him.
Wow.
So I came with no dowry, but it came at net zero.
Nice.
That's all you can ask
That's
for.
That's the best I could do. I was like, listen, I'm poor as shit, but I'm coming to you with zero debt. And that was great.
You have none now.
I have no debt. I paid it off
I still
before
have
I got married.
Okay.
Girl, you know what I did though? This is so terrible that we have this whole conversation about paying off. Like I was really good with my money, and every time I waited tables, and I had a very lucrative waiting tables job. And every time I got any money from commercials, I immediately put it to the principal of my debt. And I was really happy that I paid it off. Guys.
That's it, though.
But this is bullshit. Why should I have to?
Well, look at the careers we work in. Like when you work in entertainment, you have the opportunity to walk in the door, and on that day, that audition, which was really no different from the audition you did the day before,
yeah.
which was for a voiceover that's going to pay you $250.
Mm-hmm.
That day is the national commercial.
Yeah,
and maybe
it's
make,
a lottery.
Maybe
yeah.
you make $30,000. If you're a teacher, they're not going to say, hey, look, if you coach this afternoon.
It could be huge.
Could be a big game. It could be $30,000. You go beat City in this final. It's a big bonus for you.
You guys should have tried politics.
No,
you know,
but,
like,
but it's so true.
We're lucky
to work
in this industry where
and
you
I was,
can luck,
yes,
fall into
very
this
lucky
thing.
That in one day of work, I paid off half my student loans, basically.
So Michael, what happened today? And what's going on with the Trump administration? And why did this guy quit today?
What is going on with the Trump administration?
Specifically as
he quit because Trump just cares too much.
The gentleman who resigned today, he pretty much said, you're making my job impossible. I work for a bureau that was started in 2011. He was there from day one. Obama administration started this bureau.
Formed as part of the
Financial Protection Bureau after the financial crisis because they realized, like, rich people were just running fucking crazy and doing whatever they wanted, and somebody needed to protect all the consumers that were being screwed. And this guy was working in the section that was supposed to be protecting student borrowers. And since the new administration has come in and Betsy DeVos has taken over and they've started to combine divisions and shrink departments, he's found it increasingly impossible to protect students and student borrowers. And he, in his letter today, he said, you are defending, he didn't name them, but he was referring to Navient, which is the Sallie Mae, Freddie Mac combo.
The one I'm making my last payment to tomorrow.
There you go. Congratulations.
Yes. I hate emails from them.
Yeah.
The worst.
I went and bought a lottery ticket after I made my first payment to my student loans.
I'm on a roll.
I lost. It was a scratch off. I won nothing.
I'm sorry. But yeah, he named them and said, you've been defending the people that are profiting off of these students as opposed to the students themselves. And I refuse to work in an administration that makes my job impossible.
So this is interesting to me. I understand that people are profiting off of the backs of babies, because we all remember when we were 18. I mean, for me, it was yesterday. But yes, guys, yesterday. But it is ridiculous that we ask these people to sign away their lives. They have no idea. They have no idea what this will mean to you to go to a school that costs $74,000 a year to take on that debt.
No, that's an incomprehensible sum of money.
Exactly. And our parents weren't prepared. At least my parents weren't. They were so excited when I got the amount of money I had in loans, and they took out loans as well. Mm-hmm. So I owed $45,000. They also owed money. But they were so excited because they thought, well, this is normal debt, like whatever. And now we're realizing, like, holy shit, this is preventing people from having lives.
Correct.
Where they can have families.
Correct.
And they can save for retirement and save for their, children's futures and their children's education. But why aren't more politicians taking this mantle up, right? Doesn't it seem like a win-win? Like, wouldn't you get every young voter out to vote for you?
Politicians have taken this mantle up. Hillary Clinton had, not to bring up the campaign I was on, but she had a platform to forgive debt past a certain point, if you didn't graduate, if you'd held on to it for more than 5 years. And she talked about it everywhere. And nobody really covers policy when...
But, like, aren't there, like, a bunch of theater majors that should have, like, signed up for that?
They didn't know about it.
Right. I mean, like, it's very hard as a Democratic politician. I've worked for a ton of folks in the Senate and the House and presidentials where they are trying to do very cool things. They are trying to create a universal retirement account that you can take from you from job to job. They're trying to get, you know, come up with tuition-free college choices and ways to forgive debt if X, Y, and Z haven't happened for you. They're trying to figure out ways to make sure that, like, veterans are reintegrated at every aspect of our society and given more benefits than they would be otherwise. Like, they're coming up with cool shit. And the media just doesn't cover it. It's very, very hard to break through
stars.
With that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. But porn stars.
But porn stars. I mean, and I'm not saying that the porn stars shouldn't be there. Like, we should actually be talking about this because the guy's an admitted sexual assaulter. So if a woman gets to take him down, I'm really excited about it. But it's really hard to make policy and make that stick. But we do this. We profit off of the backs of Americans in almost every industry that we have. It's not just student loans. We do it in prisons. We do it in the military. We do it by jailing children at the border right now. Like, there are special interests, and the people who are in power right now happen to be in the pocket of those special interests, and they want to keep making money off of the backs of Americans, and that's what we're stuck with until we change it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely right. A lot of people ask me, like, what's your solution for this? And I am adamant that my game show is the furthest thing from a solution. It's not a fix.
Everyone, sign up, and hopefully you'll get a season two.
There'll be, like, a cyborg version of me hosting the show in 50 years from now. The way to fix things is to find the candidates that support these changes, because they are out there. And we do have midterms coming up, and it's time to find these people.
You were campaigning for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I was. She's great. Yes.
Before
Snaps
it was
all
cool.
Around.
Was OG. Before it was really cool.
Yeah, it was so cool. I met
now
her in my neighbor's apartment.
Before she was hot and got a blowout.
Michael,
before the blowout, the Michael Torpy story.
Do you live in her district, Michael?
I do.
Oh,
yeah,
you do?
We live in Jackson Heights in Queens. We met her. My wife and I met her in the apartment of the woman who runs the Jackson Heights Beautification Group, who, like, makes sure the neighborhood is beautiful and people clean up after themselves. Like, it was very hyper local, and it was fantastic. There was this amazing, inspiring woman who just lit a fire under everybody in that room. It was great.
She's really special.
Absolutely exploded, and she's amazing. Yeah, and there are so many candidates like her out there. And, you know, Ocasio-Cortez was running for a national seat, so it got a little bit more attention. But there are people, again, I mean, my district fucking kicks ass right now. There's a woman named Catalina Cruz who's running for state assembly. Jessica Ramos running for state senate. These women are killers.
So Jess, you worked for Emily's List for a
yes.
time. And there's, like, a staggering number of people that have been signing up through Emily's List. What's sort of the update on women running for public office this year?
This is the only upside of this year. Like, literally, otherwise, I would own my, like, feminist bookstore in Costa Rica right now if it weren't for the women.
Can't wait to come visit.
I've been in Democratic politics for, like, 15 years. It's usually more fun than this. I was at Emily's List for 5 years, which is an organization that elects pro-choice Democratic women. It's one of the oldest, biggest, like, burliest political organizations
Let's
out there.
Let's give some applause for
it's
that.
Like,
come on.
It's like the size of the NRA, but it's for, like, abortion. It's amazing. So usually, like, most of what Emily's List does is they go out and recruit people. They, like, call up women who are partners in their law firm, and they run the Sunday school, and their PTA, and they're, like, fundraising for children's wing in the hospital.
I have not gotten a call, and I'm really,
try harder,
like,
you know?
I mean, do they know that I paid off my student loan debt?
Usually that's it, like, because women just don't... Okay, so here's my favorite depressing stat. Columbia Law Review did this thing where they asked a bunch of men and women to identify whether or not they thought they were qualified to hold public office. And among the men who self-identified as unqualified, 55% of them would still consider a run. This is true.
That makes so much sense.
Totally.
To be fair, totally. I've hosted a podcast where I've gotten drunk every month for 2 years and now said some terrible things. I really don't think I'm qualified to
run
for
office. Women don't work that way. So usually,
but Charlie's
List is all about recruiting.
What do you think?
Yeah, probably. 55% chance I'll run.
And, like, no one calls up and is like, hey, I want to run. Like, the whole shit is, like, getting out there and being like, let's force you to run. And this year, 40,000 women called. So that's wow. That's what's happening.
Yes. Like, wow.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 28. We have never had a woman in her 20s in Congress.
Which there, is insane.
There has been a man in Hello? His 20s in every Congress since the dawn of the Republic.
Wow.
Yes, and never a woman.
Is there an age limit to be a senator?
No, 25 for Senate and House, Senate 35 House, for president.
Okay.
It's, but, oh yeah, 35. I mean, the fact that we don't, like, we have major issues. For instance, one thing that we've maybe talked about in this podcast, that you have to pay, you used to have to pay in prisons for, like, tampons, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Yes, yes. There are huge things that we have to deal with that, like, if there was just a woman that menstruated in Congress,
we
would have someone to
women
talk about
for
this?
Medical things that weren't related to fertility until 1997.
Yes.
Because of Rosa DeLauro. Like, they didn't test headache medication on us because it didn't have to do with our ovaries.
Yeah.
1997. Like, you have to have a woman in the room for somebody to be like, hey, that's
hey,
so
by the
up.
Way, pain is not a normal thing. Birth control shouldn't be insane and hurt your whole life.
Yes, like, you can rape your wife. All of these things that it took a woman in the 90s, again, to be like, not all right.
Yeah. It's also recent. It's crazy. Listening today, Dianne Feinstein was talking about when she was elected in 92, the last year of the woman, there were two female senators.
And 92. One of them, I think, was because her husband died.
Yeah,
was
which
really?
Is how the which yeah. is how the first woman gets in every time. Yeah. The husband added first.
And by the way, the governor of Arizona is considering Cindy McCain as the replacement. So
what?
Fast
Seriously?
Track to be a
Charlie,
female senator.
Charlie, you better run for Senate than die, and then I'll be qualified.
That's your ticket. So, guys,
so you drink.
We were talking about institutions that have too many men and have lots of problems. I wanted to pivot to the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
really
I'm really
good.
God.
Oh
is
God.
Anyone here Catholic?
He's going to have every nomination.
I was confirmed
McIntosh,
Catholic.
McIntosh, I was born Rogers here
born
at Torquay.
Raised Catholic.
I was
yes,
actually
are
Charlie
we all
the only... I'm Catholic.
Well, I mean,
well,
there's no God, so yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sure. I was
sorry.
Actually...
Just
in case anyone
know?
Thought there was a God.
Was
no,
that
babe.
Was that
there's
a spoiler?
No
I'm sorry, there's no God.
And if Yo, there is a God, it's
God
like an amorphous being.
No.
So wait a second. This is really weird. Charlie, you're the only non-Catholic on the
weird.
Panel.
Well,
what are you?
Well, I'm a non-believing Presbyterian who married a non-believing Catholic. but
I was not confirmed. My mom got pregnant at 17. I
Girl.
Talk about this all the time with twins.
Oh.
And my parents are still married. I mean, it's like a triple. What the
you know,
fuck?
When you get confirmed, so yeah. you have to pick a name.
Oh,
I
yeah.
picked the most boring name. I picked Christopher.
Wait, what do you mean you pick a name? You get like
yeah,
another
yeah, yeah,
name?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Confirmation name.
All right, girl.
My mom is
Here's
Susan
little...
K. Mary Marie.
yeah.
Thornton Lindquist.
You get an extra name if you're Catholic?
You get an extra
yes.
name. Okay, yeah. so they basically go... All right, so when you get confirmed, that's like the exciting part. Like when you're a bored ass, like suburban kid who's getting
yes.
confirmed, it's like they try to spice it up by saying, well, you get to pick a confirmation name. That's cool, right? Here's one that's available, Blaze.
Saint Blaze.
Saint Blaze, baby.
It has to be
it's
a
real
name.
Thing. It has to be yeah. a saint, and there is a Saint Blaze.
What the fuck?
Right?
I've never
so
heard anyone of Blaze.
Really, I'm from Long Island, so it's true trash, hon. So. Didn't pick Blaze, picked
no.
Christopher.
You know why? Is there someone you wanted to fuck named Christopher?
No, not at the... Well, I mean, like, yes, because everyone was named Christopher, and at
right?
the time, I wanted to fuck everyone. Like, being 13 and gay on Long Island, it's like, ho, 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 ho. It's crazy. But you look
why
around...
Why is that different? Why is 13 on Long Island
because
different
I've
than
never, like,
13
been
everywhere?
Your penis is... Why?
Also,
but I'm
I think
saying
as
13
you get older,
everywhere.
As you get older on Long Island, they do get less attractive. The men
wait,
13
can I
in Long
tell
Island.
You?
You're from Jersey, Torpy.
There's a
really
crossover.
This is a really good story. I am walking on the Pulaski Bridge. I live in Greenpoint. I'm walking across the bridge, and coming towards me, I swear to God, I'm like, is that name of the person?
Christopher.
That I went to.
We'll Christopher. Call him Christopher.
Well, his name was John. His first name was John, which also was like
John Christopher.
Fuck! So he's walking towards me, and I'm like, oh my God, that's this person that I went to school with in middle school and high school who terrorized me, you guys. Like, really, really hurt me. And emotionally, like, followed me
Bully.
Down the hallway and being like, you want a dick in your ass? You want a dick in your ass? Like, it was every day. It was just
You're
horrible.
Like, yes, I do, but stop
I was like, yes,
it.
I do, but, like, not like this. Not like this. No, I'm actually a top. Anyway, I know the shirt says bottom, but...
He's wearing
a... Podcaster of visual media, I'm wearing a gay shirt.
For all of you listening on the podcast, Matt's shirt is just a butthole with a dick inside of it.
I stole this from someone I hooked up with in L.A. Okay, so anyway.
It's a Hawaiian
shirt. I'm
walking
on the Pulaski Bridge, and coming towards me is literally this guy who terrorized me in high school and middle school. I looked... We both graduated the same year. I looked 16 years younger than him. But I would still... fuck him. And that's the tea.
Did you
and
speak?
That's oppression. And that's the patriarchy. And that's Long Island.
So the Catholic Church, Charlie?
Anyway, getting back,
in.
Getting back to the Catholic Church, there were at least 1,000 victims of molestation in Pennsylvania alone recently with the report that came out. The church engaged in a massive cover-up allowing this to happen. And, I guess the question is, I'm surrounded by Catholics here. Is it going to hurt the Catholic brand? I mean, it's hurting the Catholic brand, right? Like, why would you sign up to be a Catholic now?
The Catholic brand.
Well, now they're coming for Pope Francis, which is the most transparent thing ever.
Oh, I know. The conservative wing of that party is coming
Like, the conservative wing of the Catholic Church is like, that guy knew. That one who likes all the brown people, he was in on it all to begin with.
So something came out today where some guy... I mean, I heard the news story that there's like a litany of accusations about the current Pope knowing about it. And then the news story ended with, he offered no proof. So it's just like this random accusation.
No, they hate him. They obviously hate him. Like, he's saying abortion doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go to hell. And
he said nice things
we
about
really
non-believers.
Ought to, like, yes, and we ought to take care of poor people and brown people. And sometimes those are the same thing. And maybe we should think about that
a little bit. Looks like Jess is making her way back to the church.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no God.
No God.
He also said, like, a positive thing about gay people, which I think disqualifies him in
what
many
eyes.
What was
the positive thing he said?
Like, be nice to them. I don't know.
Stop beating
just
them.
Just like, if you see them on the Pulaski Bridge, like give them a blowjob.
They shouldn't die. Like, but I remember...
The bar, it's McCain Lowe.
It's McCain Lowe. But it's true. It was like, he was like, decent towards people that are homosexual, and it was like...
Michael, did you grow up going to Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this is what I don't understand. And I've had a hard time. Like, Charlie's from the South, so he knew, like, a Catholic growing up.
Right.
Like, maybe a Catholic person. And they think Catholicism is like being a Scientologist. They're, like, very confused. It's true. They're like, what?
But I love that.
But I still think that, to be honest.
Okay.
But I also think that about Protestantism as well.
No, but I've had to explain to you that being Catholic is similar in a lot of ways to being Jewish, that it's very cultural. Right? So that, like, even if, like, you grew up Presbyterian, Charlie, and actually going to church, I didn't go to church, but I still, in some ways, identify more as a Catholic because it's a cultural thing.
We're all white people. Like, this is a class thing. You just had more money than we did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, John Kennedy had a lot of money. There's rich Catholics.
Only because of Joe Kennedy and the deal with the devil.
All right, you outsmarted me. I don't know that one.
I lay my microphone
down. Two bears in. It's interesting to me that we've made jokes about boys and girls being molested by this institution forever, and we still... how is it possible that people still send their fucking kids to Catholic school? Oh, my God!
It's ingrained. I mean...
I don't understand.
From where I'm from, like, if you weren't religious, it was, like, it was crazy. It was weird.
But, you know, insane. It used to be that if you didn't let your kid play football, that was weird. And that's changing, right? Like, football is dying for young kids. Yeah. So maybe Catholicism will die and all of religion will start to die.
I don't think so. They're doubling down after this controversy.
I would have said football was a bigger religion than Catholicism. So, maybe.
My dad's a varsity football coach for years. And I never played football. And I said to him, I was like, why did you never make me play football? And he was like, well, and I finally got him to admit it's because it's fucked up for fucking young kids to play football because it fucks with your brain. When you get decked out, and I finally got him to admit that, but that's like a microcosm of what's going on there.
And he still does it?
He's retired now.
Oh, all right.
He coaches bowling now.
I think that's safe.
And he says, you know what he says? The kids are different, you know, but I like them. They're socially, you know, they're a little different. But you know what? I'm having a good time. I got them competitive.
30 years he was a varsity football coach.
Wait, is your dad Marlon Brando from like the last five years before he died?
Doing a good Marlon.
But football is another institution where sexual assault against young boys tends to happen because there's only men in the organization. That's a problem with the Catholicism. Does the panel agree that if we maybe let,
yes,
if we either let women be priests or we let male priests get married and fuck people who are not kids, that maybe that this would stop?
Fuck people who are not kids. Thank
right
you
now, we is it not true that we only let them fuck kids right now?
Well, we're not
who else
letting
are they allowed
them
to fuck? They're clearly allowed to fuck kids because 1,000 of them got fucked in Pennsylvania.
Not being allowed to fuck is crazy. You're
it's
a
insane.
Human being. It's crazy.
It's one thing to say, like, if you don't want to fuck, that's your choice, right? Like, it's a choice. If you don't want to fuck, go good for you. But, like, guys.
No, you're a human. You want to.
I know. Listen.
You
want to. I want to. I do. I'm a mother, and I have a healthy sexual life. It's fine. I own it. But my point is, like, you know, whatever. But just when you tell. It's not that. It's more that you're attracting fucking predators, right? You're 100%. Attracting predators because they know they have easy access. They know that they...
Organization that polices themselves.
Yes.
And they're going to be looked at as non-sexual.
Yes.
And so no one's going to be looking for any, you know, yes, misconduct.
Basically, whenever you're in... women in here know. Like, if you turn down a street and there's a bunch of people on that street and you realize that they're all men, you're going to turn around. Like, if you're in a park, if you're walking through a park at night and you're surrounded by all guys, like, something's wrong. I don't know what it
would
is.
You,
oh,
would
I'm
you,
sorry.
Am I going to send my fucking kid down that street
here
by himself? No.
Like, anywhere where it's all men.
I have a question
stuff
for
is
the,
fucked up.
I have a question for the women on the panel. Would you be uncomfortable at a They Might Be Giants concert?
I love They Might Be Giants.
All men.
I've never
all
been
men
to a concert.
A lot of men at
oh,
Terminal
don't tell
5
me that
last time I went.
I literally I'm going to go.
No, but I
I'm going to go and bring 10 feminists.
I'd be uncomfortable.
But I take your point. These organizations that are exclusively men, whether it be fraternities or whether it
or
be
the military
or whatever, these things happen.
It's so sad.
It is. I mean, we've talked about this a million times, but it's so frustrating that all of these old white men are making decisions about what I can do with my vagina.
And they don't understand it at all.
No, no.
They literally think you take a birth control pill like a guy puts on a condom.
Yeah,
fully believe. You're like, oh, I'm going to have sex.
Well, also
pill.
Because most of them, they're not even young men who are like actively fucking. They're like men who are like, I don't know how condoms work.
No, I think Brett Kavanaugh's still fucking probably. He's pretty young. So one
his name is Brett.
fucking like fucking
Brett's
your wife
fucked
is
Brett's
different
fucked
than like.
I mean, that's actually like
definitely
a proven
Brett's
fact.
Brett's fucked.
Brett's get it in.
But don't you think like fucking your wife is actively different than like fucking people?
Wait, what?
Don't have a wife.
What did you just say? Did I just get permission to?
No, you
go
did
out
not.
And really fuck?
No, we're. No, no, no. Don't mistake me. You are not allowed to fuck anyone else.
If you guys
want to
take a moment, we can.
So I wanted to ask about.
No, my point is that a lot of people that are like a lot of these conservative men have been with the same woman for 12 years, and that's different than.
That
like,
is not true. They're all in their fourth wife.
Oh, that's true now.
Seriously, though, weed there.
Charlie, guess what? You're a conservative from like 20 years ago because you've been with me for a long time.
8 years.
Longer than that. We dated before we were married.
That's true.
Oh, man.
All right. I want to talk about Brett Kavanaugh, which is why I brought him up. And Jess, I know you've been sort of following the protest movement against him, which is sort
of. I've been in 12 cities in 10 days.
Wow. All right. Tell us about that.
It was the Rise Up for Roe tour. Okay, so basically every time anything goes really, really wrong, the Democrats like form like Voltron. So like if like Obamacare is getting repealed or something.
But
like,
we wait. We like, wait until it's literally about
second
to die.
And
then we
like
go
NARAL
in.
And NARAL and Planned Parenthood and move on and everybody like gets
Let's
together.
Let's put on
and,
a comedy
like,
tour.
We call it the war room and we do a thing. So this one was we did a Rise Up for Roe tour where we sent a bunch of women around the country to talk about Brett Kavanaugh and how bad it was and how much we had to stop that. Because two lies are being told to you. One is that we don't know how he would rule on Roe. Like, that's just a lie. He praised the dissent, and the one time he got to rule on abortion, it was to deny an undocumented teenager yes. who was in detention and had the like wherewithal to demand her rights and make it through all of the Texas loopholes. Like she went through all of the hoops and he was like, nah, you got overruled. But we know what the guy's gonna do. And the second lie is that we can't stop him, because we can. He has the lowest approval rating of any Supreme Court nominee ever in the history of, which includes Robert Bork and Harriet Myers. Neither one of those people are on the court.
Guys, Harriet Myers, I think I went as her for Halloween one year.
That is so nerdy. I love that.
Harriet Myers is my drag name now.
So you think he's stoppable?
He's totally stoppable. So
what do we do? Who do we?
Everybody's got to call their senators and like
Chuck Schumer. I have to call Chuck Schumer.
Yes,
I mean,
he's
really?
The fucking Senate Minority Leader, and he needs to like a little more spine.
Me and Kirsten are really close. Can I Kirsten get brunch?
Can I pretend that I'm my mom again and call my Ohio senator?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and most importantly, like everybody in here is probably from somewhere else. Everybody listening is probably from somewhere else. Like if you're from Maine or Alaska, make this your job. Just like do it every day, because the thing about it is, even if we win in November and then we impeach Trump and then we win in 2020, it doesn't matter if we lose the court in the meantime, because if we actually manage to pass Medicare for All or something like that, like all major awesome amazing legislation, school integration, Obamacare, marriage equality, all of it, it will make its way to the court, and if we have lost it in the meantime, it will get killed there.
How can people who are pro-life be okay with a Catholic church that,
because they're actually just about punishing women,
men.
It's not really about life. That's the yeah. Otherwise, they'd be for sex ed and contraception and the rest of it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I think abortion is an emotional mind fuck.
There's
right?
some
like,
cognitive dissonance
you,
there.
Wouldn't you? I would personally love it if there weren't abortions, because everybody just took birth control in a responsible way and
yeah, totally.
Had access to it. And just because, like, it's a terrible decision to have to make that choice.
Literally, nobody is pro-abortion. Yeah. Like, it's a hard decision for some people and an easy decision for some people. But, like, everybody would like it if we had some foolproof method. Like,
yeah,
there's
exactly.
There's no abortion
and IUD
lobby.
Is a great foolproof method. We talked about that last week.
It scares me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's all up in there.
I'm about to get one. Thanks, Jess.
Okay. Text me, let me know how it goes.
I will.
Here's a really wonky thing that happened today. The DNC is getting rid.
Thank great segue,
why are you changing
Charlie?
The subject? Emmy.
Guys, this is 2 weeks in a row I've talked about my IUD that's pending. And Charlie.
I wouldn't talk about anything else. That's terrifying.
I have two children. That is enough for the environment, everyone.
Show.
I did my due diligence.
Last week's show, I didn't do this because we were talking about Me Too for 35 minutes, and I, as a man, I feel like I couldn't change the subject, and then no one did. So anyway, not that it needs to be changed.
Oh, well done, well done. Very well done.
Yes, dance.
Guys, start this
dance.
Hashtag, Charlie Todd sucks.
Dance.
Guys, this is my Me Too moment where I take back control of hosting a show.
Please do.
Time is up on other people dominating the conversation. So, I want to talk about superdelegates, which is a really wonky thing, but Jess, I think you probably know a lot about it, having worked for Hillary's campaign, and I read that the DNC today voted that they're getting rid of superdelegates.
Yes, thank
God. Which as someone who voted for Obama, I was very suspicious of superdelegates in 2008, and somebody who was supporting Hillary in 2016. I thought, oh, superdelegates seem like they make sense. But ultimately, they did kind of seem like bullshit.
No, it is bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
I'm glad
totally
they're
bullshit.
Gone, right?
There are a couple of things in the Democratic process that are utter bullshit and totally undemocratic. One of them is superdelegates, which was basically the way that, like, people would make sure that the state party system would get their preferred candidate.
It's like people would make sure like a Donald Trump situation wouldn't
exactly.
happen.
Exactly.
No, the Republican Party should have had it. If they had had superdelegates,
if Republicans had
superdelegates,
it would have been better.
Would have been
but we're
President
not crazy
Marco
like
Rubio.
They are. Like the craziest thing we can think of is a socialist. Like, it's not that bad. The other one is the caucus system, where like you have to like declare in front of your neighbors in a very small group of people that shows up at like 6 p.m. on a work night or like 10 a.m.
You don't like
on a
caucuses, you think they should be
no,
gone.
It's totally undemocratic. Like, it should just be the most people involved in the system as possible.
People
like, that's
love
how that works.
It, though. I'm from Iowa originally, and
I know,
people
and you
love
all
that
are,
caucus
yeah, I've worked
shit.
In Minnesota
Iowa.
For a long time. It happens, but...
Fuck Iowa and this tiny bullshit.
For real,
nobody
fuck
fucking
Iowa.
Cares about you, and we shouldn't care about you.
They have a really good t-shirt store, though, in Iowa City.
Raygun.
There's
oh, yeah?
Raygun. Yo, girl, check out Raygun. Are you guys Iowans?
Wait.
Are you really?
Where are you from? Oh, my God, I'm from Davenport.
That's the place
originally.
I know.
Wait, Quad Shitties.
Ray Gun is legit. I got a really good sweatshirt from there.
Wait, it's a Ray t-shirt Gun store magazine? We're talking about?
Yes. No, it's t-shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies.
Wait, like Ray Gun magazine?
No.
Unrelated to the artsy indie rock magazine from the late 1990s.
Right? More similar to that.
Okay.
There was a really good shirt that said, beat the other team.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cute. Yeah, I got it in white, too, which was a really
Do they have an
white.
Online store?
Yes, RayGunOnline.fucking.com.
I'm gonna go.
That sounds almost as cool as the new Tubers N t-shirts that I have one right behind me right here.
Wow!
Available on
T-Public. Once again, I vote in midterm elections.
So sexy.
You know, we're not going to make any money off these shirts. We're not really trying to plug them.
We're not making money, but they're cool. I've been stopped.
No,
And our 4-year-old wore his today too and got stopped.
Yeah, no, it is.
What did
by
he
a
say?
Trump supporter
people,
who was
no,
like, "You're
no,
too
he
young."
He just got a lot of like smiles and thumbs up from people on the street, and I was like, "What the fuck are you doing with my child?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, his T-shirt is cool."
No, I wore.
I was like,
it.
"What are you Catholic?" And I was like, oh, "Okay."
I warned it.
It's a child molestation joke. Yeah. I've had 3 beers. I barely drank for a year, and there you go.
No, I wore my I Vote and midterm election shirt around New York a couple of times in the last few weeks, and I've gotten a lot of thumbs up. I like your shirt. I also wore it a little bit in South Carolina when we were vacationing in South Carolina, and every time somebody would say, I like your shirt, I would be like, cool, yeah, it's good if more people vote, like not knowing if the person
You're like,
who
it's was, cool, but like maybe don't vote if you're going to vote for Trump.
But isn't it fucked up that the Democrats are the party of voting and that
No, it's how you know you're right. Like, we just want more people to vote. Like, yep. If we could have compulsory voting, we would win.
In a landslide.
That's how you know that, you're on the side of
the people. The majority of the people.
Like, they spend most of their time making sure that black people can't vote in lots and lots of states, and that's only going to get worse if we seat Brett Kavanaugh, so everybody call your senators.
Or your mom's senator. No, just kidding. I'm
Everybody
not
call your mother
a
senator.
Who here could call a senator that would be,
No, honestly, we have the Senate Minority Leader. This
the
matters.
The people from Iowa
call
raised
Chuck
their
Schumer.
Hands.
That right. matters. Like
Chuck Schumer.
We don't even have every Democrat on the record right now about how they're going to vote. Like, if Harry Reid were still in there, he would be making sure that Democrats were saying the right thing on this. So just call Chuck and say you wish he were a little more like Harry.
Nice.
You'll love that.
Wow. Yeah.
I want to ask the panel a question, which is there anything that has not been in the news, something that's happening that you think is under the radar that we are not talking about enough? Maybe something we haven't talked about tonight, or just in general, you think something that is, whether it's the Trump administration or in general, is a headline that is not being covered?
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson filmed a daytime talk show pilot.
Nay.
And that's not where her energy should be going. My instinct is to get up right now and, do a TED Talk.
So you think we should call our reps about this?
I think we should call our reps and say, hi, Chuck. If you were more like Harry, you'd be saying Kelly Clarkson should be singing.
Blah, blah, no. blah, Roe but, v. Wade, blah, but, blah, 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 Kelly yeah. Clarkson.
She's got, an overall talent deal with NBC Universal, and so they have, her doing a talk show pilot. Girl, no.
I think I'd watch
singing
it.
Singing songs.
I think
we'd all watch it, but that's the problem. That's the problem. We'd all watch it, and then we can hear her amazing voice because you're going to be busy talking all day. Because filming a talk show pilot isn't just 45 to an hour. It's a 3 or 4 hour ordeal.
Also, at the
huh?
end, are they just going to ever do a cover at the end of every show? That's kind of bullshit.
Literally, Cody, I had friends that were at the taping and they said started it with a cover.
No.
And the idea is that she'll do a cover every day. And I'm like, see, this is.
See, I just came up with that idea at the time. I'm going to be the EP.
All right. I think this is something we all knew we were going to talk about tonight. My question was, what is under the radar? That people are not talking about.
Okay, so that's erasure. This is erasure.
So the National Review, major conservative, William F. Buckley, whatever, in their obit of Aretha Franklin, started by saying that she didn't have the range of Kelly Clarkson.
Oh,
that's insane.
That's a good segue.
She would be, Kelly would be furious.
I would expect that she would be. Yeah.
Wait,
she's
are
not
you
Taylor
serious?
Swift. Yes, seriously. What? Seriously.
What white man wrote that piece?
They were like, she brought a lot of emotion or whatever they were ascribing to black women that day. but she doesn't have the range or technical skill of Kelly Clarkson.
That's insane. Can I just say also, like, so the day that Aretha Franklin died, I have listened to a lot of Patti LaBelle songs because I'm a Fox News listener. No,
that was
amazing.
Yeah. And that you knew was amazing.
That was too.
That
much.
Was too
it was
much.
Like
they
the
were
onion.
Like, look at all these. They were like scrolling through all these pictures of Aretha Franklin. They were like, none of these really capture what we want to say.
How did that happen?
That one, yeah. Patti
LaBelle. If you Google image search Aretha Franklin, does some Patti LaBelle pictures come up? Like, how did somebody make that mistake?
Probably no.
Yeah.
So you think somebody made it on purpose? They were just like, let's just purposely put up the wrong woman?
So they're trolling us. They're trolling us.
A couple of the people who work at Fox, like, in the tech departments, and, like, they're not awful. They just have good health care. So, like, maybe at some point they're writing the chyrons and they're doing the, like, this is the crawl that goes by. And I like to think that they're, like, secretly trolling their employers.
You think it's resistance from within?
I don't think so. Honestly, I think they just can't tell black women apart.
Yeah. You made an effort.
I tried.
Michael, what's your one issue? Probably student loan debt. Besides student loan debt. I honestly
have been so in the pocket of this student loan debt situation.
Your
I'm like
wife's
so
a doctor.
The,
did she owe
She's not
ten,
a doctor. She's
oh,
a she's a
oh, right.
She's a licensed mental health practitioner.
Yes, sorry. But she has more than one degree.
She has her undergrad and her master's.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. So did she owe a $9 billion?
She did. I mean, we had a somewhat of a similar situation in that I learned about student debt through my wife. When we met, she owed over $40,000 from her master's. And we were getting engaged and looking at finances.
And you were like, I think maybe I'm going to marry someone
maybe
else.
Maybe hold out, right?
Yeah. Definitely. Well, Charlie did the same thing.
The rates are like insane. You know, it's like 7-8% interest rates on these things. And I had just booked my Hanes commercials with Michael Jordan. And it was the first time I joined the union.
Wait, I want to hear more about this.
Wait, what?
I did a series
guys,
of...
Guys, Michael Turpie and I have a long
what?
Canon
did you
of...
you
know
IMDb the amazing shit out of me
my Hanes commercials with Michael
were
Jordan?
Were you in your underwear?
Fuck yeah.
Hell right. Yeah!
Like next to Michael
yes.
Jordan?
Yes.
Michael, I know you have a long history of doing a lot of commercials, and we were in a hair gel commercial once together.
Hell yeah, we were absolutely.
Charlie,
you were not in a lot of commercials.
I've never.
No,
booked,
I was in
I've
like two
booked.
Commercials, and one was a hair gel commercial with Michael.
Great
Turpie.
Hair gel commercial, online only.
Online. Oh yeah, non-union, online only. But
I will say to all of our listeners, Charlie and Michael both have a very good head of hair.
That's super kind.
Thank you so much.
It's true.
You can only say that on a podcast.
And Matt, too. Matt's
this
got a great
This is Matt
hair.
Rogers erasure. No, I pride myself on my hair. I will not be on this panel and not heralded.
Look at this. Charlie is a beautiful...
Is
no.
Matt, Charlie's a beautiful
this
salt and pepper.
This is a gorgeous
I just got it cut, too.
This
is
like
editorial.
I was just saying, your
situation.
Eyes are also gorgeous.
I know,
so
it's
are.
True.
They are.
It's
all
true.
Right, the question that I wanted to ask is really important. When you did this Hanes commercial, was it the one when Michael Jordan had a Hitler mustache?
It was.
Why?
Confirmed. Confirmed.
Did you speak to him about it at all during breaks?
Negative.
Did you speak to him at all about anything?
Negative.
Like, this is my first SAG after job. Just curious, what's up with the mustache?
That mustache was amazing. I did not notice it in person because I think I just locked eyes the whole 2 days. Like, I did not go below the eyeballs.
You
on Jordan.
Lock eye to nipple. You're not really.
Yeah,
like...
you don't face scan. You don't, like, run, you know,
not
up
Michael
and
Jordan.
Down on
you're
MJ
not face
while
scan Michael
next
Jordan.
You. No, you just stay in tight. They were so scared. He had worn a set of earrings to a previous commercial that had destroyed the camera. Like, the diamond was so gigantic that the lights were ruining it. It was flashing in the camera lens,
same,
and they couldn't even handle
same.
It.
Same.
So
sure.
I show up a couple days early because I rehearsed with Michael Jordan's stand-in so that I don't fuck up. I had no credits at this point. It was, like, my first big job.
And that was Scottie Pippen?
Yeah. 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 Amazing.
You look down here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, we're rehearsing, and they're all talking about these giant fucking earrings. Like, what do we do if Michael shows up with the earrings? They roll out this blanket. They've got all these backup earrings ready. They've got different, his, like, head is shiny. They've got powders to, like, help with his head. Everything planned. Then he walks in the door with a goddamn Hitler mustache. There is no plan B for the Hitler mustache. There's no backup.
All right. It made it into the cut?
Oh, 100%.
The makeup artist is like, I want to be the one to, like, not... I, like, really want to say this, but,
can
like,
I, like, take
I
down
the
edge
person?
A touch? Can I maybe, like, smooth it?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, brutal. Everybody go home and Google Michael Jordan hates commercial Hitler mustache. Take a look at it. We're going to end on that note. Give it up for our amazing panel tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Rogers, Jess McIntosh, Michael Torpy. I'm Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist.
Subscribe to our podcast and Apple Podcasts. Come see us next month here at UCB Theater East. And in, don't forget to vote in midterm elections and local elections. There's a primary coming up in
all
New York State.
All the way down September 13th.
September 13th. Vote in the local election. Good night, everybody. Thank you
Good
so
night.
Much.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with you two beers in.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.